this one here? This one is the same thing.
Hare Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryan Karabhavahai Tejasvinavadhi Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Yeah, there's another one here. You put this in.
Not the second one.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm going to put it. You didn't know that you have.
Oh, yeah.
No, no.
Okay, sorry. You can take this one.
Oh, okay, yeah. This, okay.
Okay. The point here okay. Our spiritual master in the matter of scriptural conclusions, Srila Jiva Goswami, has therefore declared that the one absolute truth eternally exists in four features: as his original transcendental form, as his ever-expanding all-pervasive potency, as the living entities, and as the sum total of all matter. This is analogous to the features of the sun god himself, the powerful sun globe, the sunshine, and the reflections of the sun rays on other surfaces. Right? So here he's saying in the matter of scriptural conclusions, what Jiva Goswami says, then that's what is our position. We always accept that. So when giving these kind of conclusions, then our acharyas will be quoting from him in this kind of aspect. The point here is that God alone is the supreme absolute truth, Shaktiman. He is the only source of all potencies and energies. The Brahma Sutra does argue the essential oneness of the energetic source, Shaktiman, and energy, Shakti. Yet the Vedas conclude, quote, the supreme absolute truth manifests himself in a variety of forms. His potencies are multifarious, end quote. This proves that there exists an essential and eternal difference between the energetic and his energy, and that the inconceivable absolute truth acts in ways that are paradoxical and contradictory. The monotheistic school of the Kevala Advaitavad cannot successfully oppose with arguments the scriptural principle of simultaneous one and difference. Right, so this very important, this point is that the scriptures do talk about the oneness, but at the same time as they're saying that in conclusion, the supreme absolute truth has many forms, and his energies take many forms. But at the same time as he takes many forms and his energy, right? So there's a difference. So there's the one absolute truth who then manifests in different Vishnu Tattva forms. But his energies then are under his control, right? Because otherwise energy can't function without energetic. So now we've established, the Supreme Lord, him, his potencies, and in this point, at this so far, we haven't gotten so much into, though we've talked the personal element, haven't gotten so much into the aspect of rasa, right? Though that will come up. So next is then three categories of manifestation of this energy. The absolute potent supreme truth manifests himself in three categories: as his internal potency, as his marginal potency, and his external potency. Right, so because it mentions here before that he is always eternally exists, his original form, ever expanding all pervasive potency, the living entities, and the sum total of all matter. So then here we get the internal, the marginal, and the external. That's the main divisions. But it's slightly different. I mean, you can connect that with what the other point was made, because there's always the Lord, his internal potency, the external, and the jivas. They're always eternally manifest, all these four. But you do have the aspect here is that, he's saying here is that ever-expanding, all-pervasive potency. Because you do have that element, that is what actually makes everything else function. Right? So, because that potency is what then is being applied both on the internal and the external. Right? This is what we get from the previous, from the Dasamul, is that the matter is there, because he says the sum total of all matter. So matter is there, but the thing is it's dead matter. It doesn't do anything. So still, for it to function, that all ever-expanding, all-pervasive potency has to enter it. But when you apply the elements of Samvit, Sandini, and Hladini on it, then the formulas come out a little different as goodness, passion, ignorance. Right? Does that make sense? Which do the same thing. The ignorance is the existence of the living entity. The material absorption and that kind of knowledge and activities is their abhideya. And whatever little material happiness that they get, that's their prayojana. Right? But now when this is applied on the internal potency, then it gives a different flavor. Does that make sense? Because the element of the yoga maya means you deal with her devotionally, she's yoga maya. You don't, she's mahamaya. So the same potency is pervading both. She is the sum total, that surup shakti. That's generally how we refer to it. Right? So, right? So in that way, then when you say here three categories of manifestation, then what you're going to see is internal, external, and jiva. Right? But the external, actually, its functioning is still working because of this all-pervasive potency. Right? Does that make sense? But for us, the main point is we're here, and how it functions and all that is how what we know as material energy. That makes sense? And if we think it's separate from Krishna, then it's called maya. Right? And if we don't see it separately than Krishna, then it's the external energy. It's just inferior Brahman. Like that. That's all. Does this make sense? So this way, you see the connection between all these? But at the same time, there's a slightly different flavor in them. Right? So that's important to be able to see the common connection, because there's elements that are functioning throughout all of them. If that's understood, then one can easily move from one to the other. Right? Something that works, if you get a realization of how something works in one, then by contemplation you can understand how it works in the other. Does that make sense? Like that. But at the same time, you have to be able to distinguish what actually makes the difference between them. Right? Does that make sense? Through the agency of his internal spiritual potency, he displays the infinite transcendental realm, and he exists there eternally as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the proprietor of all his energetic expansions. That he may perform various personal pastimes, his internal potency exhibits the spiritual Vaikuntha planets within the transcendental realm. Right? So he exists there, it mentions. He exists there eternally, so that's where he stays. But for pastimes, then the planets are manifested. Right? So that means then the devotees, everything like that. Does that make sense? So he exists there, but then he is as a person. Like that. Does that make sense? Like that. Doesn't make sense. Makes sense. The marginal potency, right, so here's then we get the element of the rasabdim, right? That he's going to, is the lord of rasa, right? He's the ocean of rasa. The marginal potency is made up of the eternal living entities, jiva souls, who are like rays or infinitesimal sparks of the sun. They are part and parcel of the absolute truth, none different from him in quality and different in quantity. The external energy, Maya, is but the reflection of the eternal spiritual realm. Maya establishes the hierarchy of various material conditions that the souls in her power become subject to. Right, so here is the reflection of the eternal spiritual realm. So, as we were discussing before, is the thing about its reality at the same time it's a reflection. Right? So things work the same on the same formulas, but their manifestation many times, or their hierarchy, is opposite. Does that make sense? Right? Means, on a tree, at the end of the branches where the leaves are, that's where the fruits are, generally, right? Unless it's a jackfruit tree. Right? So, in the reflection, it's the same formula. Right? But in the real tree, the fruits are up, and in the reflected tree, the fruits are down. You understand? So the formulas are the same, but their hierarchy then, much of the time we see, gets reversed. Right? So it says here that Maya establishes the hierarchy of various material conditions that the souls in her power become subject to. Right? So then you have this hierarchy, means it's all dead matter. So technically, there is no hierarchy. You know what I'm saying? We have this rock, and we have this rock. Which one's better? You know what I'm saying? So technically, there is no better. But according to Maya, then we will apply, you know, a hierarchy to it. So she establishes that, those methods. So we can say, okay, if we're looking for, you know, whatever it is, if it's color, then is it the golden color we're looking for, the dark color we're looking for? Then according to that, one's better than the other. Or size, or shape, or, you know, something we give a designation. Then we say this is better, that's better. But technically there is no better. You know, probably gives the example. You have the cow dung on the tree, right? You have the fresh cow dung, you have the cow dung on the tree drying. Which one's better? Right, it's all stool, right? Wet stool, dry stool. But someone will say, "Oh, the wet's better, you know, because that you can mix it and doing things with it and that." The other say the dry one's better because you can burn it, you can do so many things, you can store it. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's a reflection. So you're dealing with the eternal spiritual realm. Living entity is coming here. It's dead matter, so it's not going to have any meaning to the living entity. So therefore, it is created so it looks just like the spiritual world. Right? That's the way it is. But being made out of inferior material, it doesn't quite come out the same. Right? It doesn't have the eternal aspect. It doesn't have the happiness aspect. Those two seem to be seriously lacking. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So is this clear on these? Because it's why we bring this out is it's important to be able to know when you're dealing with the reflection and when you're dealing with the formulas. Right? Does that make sense? The reflection is going to be the Maya establishes the hierarchy. Right? But technically the formula is energy is energy. You know what I'm saying? Electricity works the same whether you're running a refrigerator or you're running an oven, right? Whether it heats or cools, it's the same formula. So someone who knows electricity knows how it'll work in either. It doesn't change. Does that make sense? It's the same energy. It's just that when it's applied in one, then you get one result. Applied in the other, it gets the other result. So in the spiritual world, then it gets that result. When it's applied in the material world, you get a different result. That makes sense? Here it's temporary and it's full of misery. In the spiritual world, it's eternal and full of happiness. Right? And what's the difference? One is it's recognized in the operation of the energy is recognized in connection with Krishna, and in the other, it's not recognized in connection with Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So as soon as you recognize the connection with Krishna, then technically you're not in the material energy. You're not in Maya. You may be situated in the material world, but you're not in Maya. You're just in the inferior manifestation of Krishna's potency. Right? So the acharyas and other, they are performing their activities in the material world, but not in Maya, right? You never hear that they're in Maya, but we hear they're in the material world. But we're in the material world and in Maya, right? So we get both, right? So I don't know if that's considered, we got a bonus there, they only got one, and hey, we got two, you know, so we're doing better. But unfortunately, here, the less is more, right? Does that make sense? Okay, does that make sense? Right. The liberated and conditioned states. In each of their own ways, therefore, Maya, the material energy, the living entities, the marginal spiritual energy, and Vaikuntha, transcendence, are different and non-different from the Supreme Lord. As long as the jiva takes full shelter of the Supreme Lord, he remains a resident of Vaikuntha. But when his innate spiritual knowledge of the Lord is covered by forgetfulness, he is placed outside the transcendental realm. The jiva is compared to a ray. So you have the two elements. Is that outside technically doesn't mean a location. Does that make sense? But with time, the arrangement of location is made. Does that make sense? Just like you have a man. Let's say he acts like a dog, his consciousness. But when you see him, he'll still look like a human, he'll still talk like a human, but in his behavior, there'll be elements, his taste is that like that of a dog. Does that make sense? So actually, he's a dog, but he's still in location, still in the human form. But all you do is give it one lifetime, and then he'll be placed by location in the form of a dog. Does that make sense? Right? Or you have someone like Jarabharat. He is in the form of a deer, but he is transcendentally situated. Right? So that means technically he's not a deer, but he's in that form, so he acts within that. Does that make sense? So in the same way as the living entity, you have this way, as he takes shelter, he remains a resident of Vaikuntha. Whether it's means actually in location, or whether it's not, just by consciousness. But they're non-different. Right? Because the transcendental realm is spiritual consciousness. Right? And so when he's forgetting, he's placed outside the transcendental realm. So even if he's in the transcendental realm, he's not there. Does that make sense? Right, Dhanakasura and Krishna's cowherd friends are standing in the same spot. Right, you know, and at some point, you know, practically, you know, Dhanakasura is sitting in the trees, you know, the tall trees, and the cowherd boys are underneath those trees. Right, so they're basically in the same location, but one is actually in the material world outside the spiritual realm, and the other is in the spiritual world. Does that make sense? That's the importance of understanding the electricity can heat and cool. It's the same energy, but to Dhanakasura it manifests as Maya. Right? As the cowherd boys, it manifests as the spiritual realm. Because it's the same potency. The Sarup Shakti is the same. But in applying the Samvit, Sandini, and Hladini potencies on it, then because the one is in material consciousness, then it manifests to him in that way, and the potencies act in that fashion. Right? So therefore, it cools. Right? And the other one heats, or vice versa. Does that make sense? The electricity then going through whatever mechanics are there creates heat, or goes through the mechanics of the other one creates cold. Does that make sense? So this is what's going on. The whole idea is if this is understood, then you understand all I have to do is add Krishna and I'm not here. Right? Physically we may be here. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that it's a long way away we're trying to get. That's why self-realization, you start with yourself. Yourself, you understand this, you're not here. You're not in the material realm. you'll be in the material world, because that's where your body is right now, and that's what you're residing in, until you take up residence in your spiritual performance. Right? Then you'll be situated there. Right? So all you have to do is become God conscious, and you're not here. So it's not like it depends on someone else. It doesn't depend on any karma. It doesn't depend on the material sense of jnana. It doesn't depend on politics or social community or money or anything. You just change your consciousness, you're not here. Does that make sense? It's very simple. Main thing is just convincing ourselves of this. You know, it sounds great, but the practical application is another thing. You know, like that, oh wow, that's great, walk out, hey, who took my shoes? You know, gone. You know, then it's, you know, we're back, you know. Like that. Does that make sense? Right? So that's the idea, is we get convinced enough over a long enough period of time and practice that, then as we start to, have more faith in that and practice that, then that becomes more of a reality. Right? So the whole idea is, technically, that's how you have someone like Maharaj Katvanga in a moment surrendering, or the gopis in a moment surrendering. Right? But because we take it that is that the element of locative, you know, I'm here, spiritual's there, I have to get from here to there, because we think in time and space. Therefore, then a process is given that deals with time and space. Does that make sense? Right? Kids like to play. So some teachers, they take things that kids play with and then try to teach them through that. Does that make sense? You know, if I have 2 rubber duckies and 3 rubber duckies and I put them together, how many rubber duckies do I have? Right? Does that make sense? So it works. But as they mature, you don't need to use those things anymore. Does that make sense? Like that. Then you deal with the mathematical system not based on your conditioned needs. Right? So in the same way as then the system goes from Vaidhi into Rag, because you don't need that conditioned elements to be your inspiration. Oh, I only like to do math if I'm playing with the rubber duckies. Right? Does that make sense? No, I can deal with math without that. Because I like dealing with math. I like dealing with the equations, understanding how it works. Right? I understand the nature of numbers, how they interact. Does that make sense? So this is what's going on. Right? Does this make any sense? Yeah? Okay. Like that. Okay. Okay. The jiva is compared to a ray of the sun. And when under the cloud of Maya, he becomes conditioned to an unconstitutional and hence unnatural type of existence. The jiva was created to support and participate in the Supreme Lord's transcendental pastimes. But due to his marginal nature, he can fall under Maya's spell to suffer the pangs of repeated birth and death. If, however, the jiva awakens to his original self, the dark mists of ignorance are dissipated, and the long suffering of repeated birth and death at last comes to an end. Then he regains his true spiritual identity. Right? So when that birth and death is finished, that means then he's liberated. Then he gains his true spiritual identity. Right? So that goes in line with that between asakti and bhava, then Brahma, the stage of Brahma-bhuta, one becomes liberated. Right? So there is no material conditioning then. When it comes to one's spiritual transcendental nature, then one's spiritual identity is there, right? That makes sense? You can see how these things, they're the same thing, right? These elements are going through, but it's just different perspectives that we study it, right? Okay. So, therefore, when he's under the cloud of Maya, then it's like unnatural. It's unconstitutional, it's unnatural. It's not the natural position, right? But the thing is because he's marginal, in other words, he's on the farthest edge of the internal potency. So right there, he can see the external potency. That's the thing. While the others don't care about it. right? But they're so small, they're on the edge, they can see. So if they look at Krishna, there's no problem. They look away from Krishna, then that's Maya, right? Okay, the jiva was created to support and participate in the Lord's transcendental pastime. So support, that means the pastimes are already going on. We're created to support that, right? To add to that. Does that make sense? Not support like, how do you say, that we're the existence. No, support means add something to that, give some support, right? You have the actor and you have the supporting actor, right? So the secondary role. So we're always in the supporting role. Right? Does that make sense? That. So that then means if we follow nicely, we come to the natural state, then we are able to take up that service. Right? That's why we're not trying to be in control. Right? We may have a service, we may have things we have to organize, but we don't see ourselves as the controller. Krishna's the controller. But as a service, we can assist or support in the role of control that Krishna would need to apply in this service to make it work. Right? We're not the cause of the control that makes it work. We're a support for that control to make it work. Does that make sense? Right? I think that comes up right what you showed me before in that verse 8, no, in the Ishopanishad, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yeah, okay, well, that'll come up. He gives a very, very nice thing exactly on this point of how one can always see one's position as a supporting role as opposed to the leading role. When the jiva meets a saintly person, he gradually acquires an eager taste for knowledge of scripture and attraction to the Supreme Lord himself. When situated in his original constitutional position, the awakened soul is eligible to enter into a conjugal loving exchange with the Lord. One gets the chance to associate with real saintly persons and take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by sincerity and faith. Only in this way can he hear the true import of the revealed scriptures. Okay. When he meets one, then he gets this taste for scripture, right? An eager taste means you want to know what it means, how it applies, not for knowledge's sake, but because this knowledge is something you use. Because right? Abhideya is always, means, we go here, technically means the Abhideya will be the action, right? The action is the verb, right? The instrumental case, which is the supporting role, is always connected to the verb as the support to between the interaction between the subject and the object, right? Does that make sense? Right. So that's the nature of the jiva, right? Is always that of supporting role. So they're always instrumental case. Krishna is subject. Radharani is object. Right. Nectar Devotion mentions this. Krishna is the supreme subject. Radharani is the supreme object. Right. That's a grammatical description. Right? And the jivas are always the instrumental case. Right? So then they help the interaction or the, you know, in other words, the verb, because the verb is what connects the subject and object, connects all that together. He is the support for that interaction. He never is the interaction. He never is the cause anything like that. That cause is already there, that natural affection between the Lord and his devotees. We can assist in that. Does that make sense? That affection is there for us, but the point is we're in a supporting role, so that means we will best be applied in that way. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Okay, one gets a chance to associate with real saintly persons and take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by sincerity and faith. So the sincerity and faith must be there. Faith means you understand that something sublime is actually substance, right? And the sincerity is that you're willing, you're enthusiastic, you're eager, and you're willing to apply it. Right? When those are there, then we get, this is the only way, then we get the association of the saintly persons. That it says, only in this way can we hear the true import of the revealed scriptures. Then only will the scriptures be revealed to us. Right? Because we have the knowledge, that's good. But the idea is by having that knowledge and using it, then the import of that knowledge will be revealed to us. So if someone has the knowledge, that's the first step. But one is always trying to get it to go to the next step, which is that it should be revealed. Right? Okay. Are there any questions on? No? After submissively hearing, one can chant the holy name, and gradually the real self, this re-spiritualized jiva, overcomes the illusory energy as his original nature becomes prominent. Such is the sublime effect of chanting the Lord's holy name. Chanting alone cleanses the heart, ceto darpana marginam, and eventually brings out seven types of perfections in the spiritual soul. Right, so all this was up to the point is that ceto darpana marginam, that's the first point being made. Right, that by the chanting process, then the heart is purified. And then from that, you cleaning the mirror, you'll be able to see who you are. Right? So now, in preliminary to this, then we had three pages that explain, you know, what is the jiva, who is God, what's the relation, what's the material energy, so we actually understand what it means to clean the mirror of the mind. Okay? So that was all an preliminary expansion so that this ceto darpana marginam has some meaning. Okay? Does that make sense? So seven types of perfection in the spirit soul. The phrase ceto darpana marginam indicates the original transcendental nature of the living entity. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the living entity is a part and parcel of the supreme absolute energetic truth. He is the aggregate of all jivas. Notice he says absolute energetic truth. Right? He is the aggregate of all jivas. Like rays of the sun, the jivas are of the same spiritual nature of the supreme, but they are infinitesimal in size. Right? So that's basically, you know, yeah. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan has similarly analyzed Godhead as the infinite supreme Lord, with the jiva being his infinitesimal part. All transcendental qualities are eternally present in perfect fullness in the Supreme Lord. His pure ego is manifest as both absolute knower and absolute knowledge and knower. The jiva is also in possession of transcendental knowledge and pure ego, but to a partial degree. By logic, qualities of the sun, like heat and light, present must also be present in the sun's rays. Right? In other words, the jiva comes from the Lord, he must have the same kind of qualities. But the main point is the Lord is unlimited, and the jiva is infinitesimal. Right? So it's not saying he's small, you know, basically, you know, extremely small. Right? Of the two, then, it is the Supreme Godhead who is fully independent. He possesses and embodies all transcendental qualities. He is the origin of everything and enters into material nature as its controller. He alone creates and maintains the material world. As a reservoir of all spiritual bliss, he relishes his own spiritual self and distributes the nectar of pure love of Godhead by the means of his pure devotional service. Indeed, he forces all living entities to taste that sweet nectar. Okay, he's the origin of everything. He enters into the material nature. At the same time, as we know, he's unaffected by it. He's aloof from it. It's his nature, right? So, therefore, he can enter it without having a problem. You have a house, you can enter your house. You don't become covered or lost, right? You're still your independent self. The difference is the jiva, because he's so small, becomes overwhelmed by maya. Does that make sense? So this maya means is that you're dealing with the energy of the Lord without connecting it to the Lord. Does that make sense? So Krishna never becomes influenced by that. Doesn't mean he's not here in the material world. He's never touched by it. Because here, when we say touch, that means in Maya. But otherwise, he's always here and in control of it. Right? So that was what we're discussing in the morning. So that element of imminent. You know, he's here in the world, but at the same time, he's not part of the world. Right? So not being able to understand this, they just know he's transcendental, so therefore he has nothing to do with the world. Okay. Then he creates and maintains this world. He alone creates and maintains. So all whatever is going on, the energy creation must mean that there's something happening. Right? Something is going on, otherwise there's no creation of anything. So that potency, that's him. There isn't someone else who's that potency. There's nobody else has that potency. They're all using that same potency. Just as we're using the potency on a minute level, then we have other living entities more powerful using it on a greater level, like the demigods. But still, it's all his potency. Reservoir of all spiritual bliss. So he distributes the nectar of this bliss, and then forces all living entities to taste that sweet nectar, right? Because we want to taste something else, but we're somehow or another, you know, brought back to the same transcendental position. Yes?
Why does the living entity oppose tasting the sweet nectar?
Because of illusion. That's all. He thinks it's the matter that's giving him the taste, not what's behind it. It's just like this. Let us say, it means you have someone, let us say, they are eating prasad, right? And they are tasting the prasad. And they're happy, right? And someone's serving and it's very nice and they're happy. Right? So that's obvious that they would be happy. Now the person, let's say, who's serving has a very good serving attitude, knows what they're doing. Right? So they're serving, but actually they're happy. And technically, if you check, they're happier than the person who's eating. But the point is the person who's eating can go, wow, this is great. And he can see this and what he's feeling and make the connection. Right? But the person who's serving, as long as they don't make that connection, then their happiness remains. Right? But as soon as they observe it, that happiness is something that they have experienced, but it's not something that they are experiencing at present. You understand? So it's more subtle. So the thing is we're thinking that this gross happiness, that's happiness. But it's actually the subtler that has more happiness. Right? Anamoy, you know, we take as that's happiness. Pranamoy, then it's a little bit extended from there. But because it's extended sense gratification, we can still relate it to the gross matter. Right? So these two are very common, and basically all living entities can relate to these. But as soon as you take it to manamoy, then you're dealing with something that's beyond the gross. It has a gross form, but it's not that that is actually seen as a happiness. You have duties, you have different things, austerities that you're supposed to be performing. By performance of those, that's where you taste the next level. It means these first two levels, you taste partiva rasa, right? The senses. Either directly your senses or extended sense gratification. So anamoy, pranamoy, right? But then at the next level, that's then where you taste the emotional, the swargiya rasa, right? So it's that same principle. As long as you're not noticing it, it's tasted. Because manamoy, then it's how you gain knowledge is said to be through the aparoksha. Means it's unobserved. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Means So as long as that comes, because the other ones you hear from others, wow, isn't this great? Yeah, yeah, we're having a good time, because it's all based around that sense object. It's not based around them. Why isn't this food great? Yeah, yeah, it's really nice. We're having a great time here. But it's between you and the prasad. It's nothing to do with you and the other person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But at Manamoy, then it's dealing with the other person. Like that. But as soon as you notice, hey, this is happening, then what is it happening with? It happens with the gross objects. It's not happening with the subtle. Right? So in the same way, then it goes more subtle when it goes into the spiritual. So the problem is the lack of faith that the subtler is actually going to make us happy. Right? Because the gross, I have it. I can hold on to it. It's there. It's mine. I was happy with it yesterday, so I have it so I can be happy today. Right? But it's not necessarily, because it's still Krishna's potencies going through it that made you happy. So those potencies don't go because your karma's up on that. Then you can have it all you like and nothing will happen. You know what I'm saying? But duties, virtue, that you can always perform those activities, so that can always be tasted. But it's a subtler form. But once it's appreciated, right, you say the senses, oh, that was great. But then the point is when it's being done from person to person, it's actually much deeper. That can be appreciated later. You know what I'm saying? Like that. That's what's the things, right? But it still has a form, because the pastime has a form. So therefore, duties always have a form and through which they manifest. But actually, what you're gaining from that is not seen in form. It's in the experience of the swargiya rasa, of the emotional platform. Does that make sense? So when people are looking actually for material happiness, it's not really found on the sensual platform. It's found on the emotional platform. From the emotions, you can extend that to the senses. Right? So it's emotion plus senses. But if it's only senses, no emotion, then it's very short-lived. How long can you keep the sense in touch with the sense object? Right? Not very long. You know what I'm saying? So you eating, how long can you eat for? Right? That's the problem. I mean, of course, if you're 5 years old, you can stretch it out for about 3 hours, right? So we think the adults are superior to enjoying the senses. No, the kids are, because they're on anamoy, right? So they know how to deal with that. So, but if it's emotional, it's friends getting together, and part of that was eating, then it was the whole experience between themselves. Yeah. Right? I guess a friend comes over, you feed them something, you interact, you take care. So then it's that friendship and the senses are connected to that. Yeah? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
But we tend to not see that because that in our own mind is transitory, even though at the same time is that's in our mind, but it's what's experienced in the mind. The other one was with the senses, not with the mind. Yes?
So
it means we're stupid. That's what it means.
To look for the subtle in the experience, actually, it requires knowledge. So people who have no knowledge, so they look for happiness in actually removing problems. They may feel that if I remove problems, I will be happy. They will not look anything beyond it. Oh, yeah. That requires the knowledge to actually
beyond it, yeah. Yeah, that's why everybody else is your problem.
So Krishna consciousness, the holy name, then give us actually the happiness so that we can transcend it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, is that okay for today? Okay, so then we'll continue with this now, the explanation of this Chaito Dharpana Marjanam part, right? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Janitai Gaura Premanand.
experience.